You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Man, did not need an alarm clock this morning with those winds.
Oh, man.
Wow. I didn't know. I honest to God, when I expect you to see like 6 inches of snow or in snow drifts. I mean, it sounded like a snowstorm wind.
After yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday was great. Yesterday, walking around. Yeah, it was.
I mean,
it is cold.
I'm not even going to guess. I'm going to say 23 miles an hour, gusts up to 23.
And it feels like temperature of
same
thing, 23, 24, 25.
Okay, what was your guess?
23 miles an hour.
Yeah, 20. So you got that. Okay. And you said what?
Feels like 24, 25.
23.
Wow. 23. The one thing we've gotten good at this entire show after 2 years.
Walking
in, we can give a forecast.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right about meteorologists.
Don't say that. She's coming on later.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brittany. Yeah. Didn't mean that.
No, but the weekend was good, though.
Weekend was great. Yeah, weekend was great, but except this morning, wow.
So I was going to call you, but I know you're not a good mood on Saturday night. I'm not a big basketball guy.
That game?
I want to talk to you about that. I'm not a big NCAA basketball guy. So I said, Donna, let's watch that tonight. And then I got her the whole behind the scenes, because if you get emotional behind a team, you like them more. So I told her the Duke thing.
They're personal friends.
And then I told them that. And then we watched the video on those, the whole family. You saw that, I'm sure. It talks about the parents. Yep. It talks about the four boys and doing this and doing that. And so all of a sudden, you know, they become like, you know, our next door neighbors.
Yeah.
And she's all excited about it. That was too bad.
Well, I will say I thought it was a terrible call near the end. But with that being said, the other kid missed the front end of a 1-1, could have given them the 3-point lead.
I know.
Blew that. They didn't make a shot for like 10 minutes. They couldn't get the ball. I blame a lot of this on that coach, because when Houston went with that unbelievable full court press and Duke couldn't get the ball in bounds, right, and Con Knipple was wide open. He's a leading free throw shooter in the country. In the United States of America, he's the leading free throw shooter.
Yeah.
He's wide. Oh, give him the. Just give him the. You can just almost. Hit, just give it,
hand
to,
it
him,
to him.
And he's going to make 2 free throws. Right. Instead, the guy panics. Yeah.
You know, a couple things, though. One is it was a great game, right?
Phenomenal game.
Yeah, it was a great game. But I do want to say you've got to give those kids a ton of credit. What are they, 18 and 19?
Which ones? Because Houston was like 42 and 43, I think.
No. This is what I was saying. No,
you meant years old or what?
Yeah, you see how old those guys are. That one guy's in his 6th year. He went to like 8 schools.
No.
Had a job, 4 kids.
No, this is in your.
He's got a pension.
This is in your wheelhouse. The press conference after.
Yeah.
That's composure.
I got to be honest, I thought the same thing.
I thought, oh my God, these kids,
Cooper Flagg,
right,
should still be a senior in high school,
right. And they're taking these questions and not getting upset, because some of those questions were a little like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you think you did?
I know. I thought the same thing.
I thought, wow, I'd be very proud of them. I'd be like, parents.
How do you think I did? How do you think you did? I read your stuff. You suck on a regular basis.
Right?
No, I'm serious. You bury the lead.
Right.
You bury the lead on a regular basis. Okay?
You juxtaposition.
Okay, some of the information you don't accredit, and you're telling me, you're asking me, how did my night go?
Yeah.
I can't wait to read your story tomorrow, because you suck.
And those kids were hurting.
Next question.
Yeah.
And the same exact response.
Same
to whatever question it was.
Oh, man. Yeah. Anyway, so who's going to win?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I really saw either team play until the tournament. So it's hard for me to say, I saw them play against so-and-so. So these are the only 2 games I saw them play, and Florida's a really good shooting team. Houston plays phenomenal defense.
Yeah. That That was entertaining, though, right?
Oh, my
God.
That
whole Saturday night was fun. Both games.
That's why the NCAA tournament is my favorite sporting event in the world. Yeah. Because, like I said, you don't have to play one game and then wait 6 days for the next one. You wait 24 hours. Boy, Gino. You know my boy Gino, who won the national championship yesterday? I was happy for him. Everybody else hates him. I love him. They even talked about he was, you know, got on a boat and traveled in steerage when he was 7 years old, come over here from Italy and everything, and they had nothing. And what he said, but he, I loved how he went off, because administratively, there's some things the NCAA does that makes zero sense. It's just like if you took that group who are paid $1 million a year and put them together in a room and have them come up with how things should be done, then you take a bunch of just college basketball fans and put them in a room, and the average college basketball fans who just have common sense would come up with a better solution. Like what Gino said, okay, their first round was in Spokane. They have to fly from Connecticut to Spokane.
Yeah.
And then from like Spokane to, was it Miami? Or so, I mean, it's like, wow. It's mind-boggling. And they say, and I love how college administrators, and by the way, I'll be at UWGB today hosting my seminar, just talking college. But anyway, I love how these NCAA college administrators always hide behind the caveat of, well, we're doing it what's best for the student athlete. And Gino's like, how is traveling 5 hours one way, playing a game 48 hours traveling another 5,000 miles, yeah, doing that, how... Please explain to me how that is benefiting the student athlete. Yeah. I'm all ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's tonight.
Terry says, Duke messed up my pool. Oh, did I get some nasty texts? I had to shut my phone off.
Yeah.
Why?
Mino, they blew it. I had Duke winning it out. Yeah. What the hell's up with that call?
I think a lot Why of people.
I mean, everybody, I don't know, for some reason they thought I was still hosting a post-game show. And they said I was their outlet.
Todd, I did think of you, though, and watching the commentators. You know, Todd sometimes scolds us for talking over each other. Mm. Holy mackerel, those guys talk over each other.
You see the pregame shows, how they talk over each other? You can't understand a word that's going on.
Just, and it's, the guy, there's a guy from Villanova, and then there's obviously the Auburn guy, and who's the guy in the middle, but it's just constant. You think the guy would
say...
Well,
they have too many people.
Right, they have, what, six
Well, that's
there?
The thing,
that's
right?
Seven.
Come on!
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Here's the difference, though, guys, and you know I love you, but they've got six people. We've got two.
and we can't handle it. You're right.
I say we bring in four more people.
Well, on Fridays, it gets a little nuts in there sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you have poor Barkley, who talks so slow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible, man. I think. And somebody will jump right in over, and he doesn't have a because it takes him so long to formulate a sentence.
You think he's stopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I'll be honest with you. But that is. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have any interest in tonight's game because I have zero passion for either team.
I like the coach of Florida.
Yeah, I do too.
He said some great. His interview I thought was great. But I don't know. I don't follow that. But I thought, well, he seems
classy
like
guy.
Yeah.
He's from the Phoenix area. Went to school in Phoenix, Arizona. Played at St. Mary's. Very strong. He and Bruce Pearl, head coach for Auburn, they went against each other. They used to coach together. He played for Bruce. They're both very strong with their Jewish faith. Very, very strong.
Oh.
And both played, I think, played and coached for the Israeli national team and things like that. So they have a really, really good history. Calvin Sampson, I can't believe he's still coaching. He's like 70,
yeah,
I think. And was kind of run out of the game one time or whatever. And, I mean, he's old school. I liked watching him the other night, too. But, you know, it's you get to this level, and, you know, we talk about with GB, like, man, what do we need to get up to that level? And then you watch these teams, it's like, you need some grown men or some bad ash, tough people.
Yeah.
Wow. The only thing that bugs me. We got some nice good mornings. Good morning, everybody, from Vicky. Good morning from Mary. Good morning, ladies. Hope you have to don't go out with this weather right now with that wind. But the thing that bothers me with officiating, like I'm watching that game, and it's just brutally physical, brutally physical, brutally physical, brutally physical. I mean, guys pulling each other down, smacking each other, so many whatever, and they let it go, let it go, let it go. Then there's 19 seconds left of the game.
All right.
Oh, a little bit of physicality there. We better call that. Right. We haven't called it for 39 and a half minutes, right, but we're 19 seconds away from the end of the game, and we're going to make a call that could have been called 12 times during the course of the game, and we didn't, But now with 19 seconds left, we're going to determine this game. I don't understand officials that do that. And every official out there, and Brian, you're one of them, buddy, you're all going to say, oh, really, Mino, you think you can do better? Nope, I don't. I would do a lot worse. But I don't understand the philosophy when during the course of a game, and it goes right back to Wisconsin, Wisconsin played against Duke in 2015, was it? And Wisconsin had that lead at halftime. And the second, and Krzyzewski, that's why I've hated him ever since, when Krzyzewski went off on the refs and they allowed him to berate them from the moment the horn sounded at halftime, walking all the way to the locker rooms, he berated them like I've never seen. That second half was a completely different game. They called it completely different than they did in the first half. And I remember Bo Ryan asking, Bob, what's going on? What's happening here? Because all of a sudden, it became a different game in the second. What happened? Those are the kind of refs I have zero respect for. The ones who change the way they call the game midway through the game or at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, because we always look for consistency in playing.
That's all you ask for. If that's what you're going to call it all game, phenomenal.
Right, just do it.
But then don't change it in the last 19 seconds.
So who oversees that? Like, who calls them on the carpet? And
say, nobody. There's so little accountability. Do you know who the refs were? Of course not. You know why? Because every player is out there. His name's out there. Every coach is out there. Every whatever is out there.
Oh, I see.
But they protect those guys like you can't believe. It's crazy.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, that was...
And Brad, I know you're... Brian, give me a rebuttal on that one.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree it's crazy when all of a sudden a call is made that hadn't been called all game?
But that's... Really, they're that intimidated?
Intimidated? What do you mean?
They get berated, so they Really?
Oh, my gosh. Do you know how much you make? Here's another scam in college sports. The schools hire the officials. Now, if you're an official and you get a call from St. Norbert to do their game, you get, I don't know, $500. Or you get a call from Wisconsin, pay you $2,000. And basically saying, hey, if you do a good job, man, we're going to make sure we... How are you going to call that game?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a... Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's work to be done there.
There is. Wow. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I can't. Well, Anyway, yes. I agree with you, though, on that Duke game. It's like, okay, all of a sudden, it's like, really, did you touch him?
And right.
Like,
yeah, all of a sudden, when guys were getting torn down, getting knocked down, getting pulled down, and now, boom, there it is. Yeah. And Brian says, I hope you have a nice day, John. Smiley face.
He's not going to call.
All right. We got a Monday morning. That's all I'm going to say is we got a Monday morning. It is 34 in Green Bay, 36 in Appleton, 38 in Oshkosh. Forecast partly sunny, which is good. Flurries, which is bad. Cold, which is bad. Wind, which is bad.
But it's warming up this week. Did you see that?
But it's a Monday.
Okay.
And it's beer day.
It is.
And it's metric system day.
Oh, I know.
Perfect.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome.
I don't know how we're going to respond to the second text.
Yeah, that one just caught my eye. Morning, gentlemen. Excited to see you all tomorrow. Bacon, spinach, and Swiss quiche will be there for your breakfast. Plus, love the Duke loss. So, Michael Friedman.
So, we love the quiche, but we also love Duke.
We'll talk, Michael.
All right.
Boy, does that sound good, though? Bacon, spinach, all right, Swiss quiche.
All right.
Todd?
Oh, yeah.
It does sound good.
Yeah.
Got another one here. I was wondering about this, if anybody's going to chime in. Saw Bob Dylan last night. No interaction with the crowd. Stood up at the end behind his piano and walked off the stage. No encore. Took 30 minutes to get out of parking lot because of the sellout. Still glad I went, but was expecting more. Have you ever seen Dylan?
Yes.
I mean, is he the kind of guy that would interact? He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would...
Interact anyway.
Yeah. Does he? Todd, do you know?
I saw him.
I've never seen him.
He was at the Bronconi Arena. That was a long time ago.
Well, he was at the Riverside. Like,
really?
Not that long. I mean, like 10 years ago, 10, 12, because it's when I was doing the show with Nick Vetrano, and him and his dad both went, and they said you like couldn't understand him. He mumbled the whole time.
You know, it's too bad because I don't know how much the tickets were, but you know, sellout crowd, it's 2,200 people, excited to see him, and then they don't engage the crowd, and
I don't
they
get
can
that.
Tell. I think I told you that one time that Dionne Warwick was at the Carlton, and she was mad about something. I don't know if it was dressing room or wasn't the right food, or her agent made her be there, and she didn't want to be there. But anyway, she came and she sat on the stool, right? It's somebody they sit on there and they get up and walk around. Yeah. But she takes the microphone. She goes, "Here I am in Green Bay, Wisconsin." She never moved. It was like about a 40-45 minute
show.
What
she was putting down was Green Bay, Wisconsin.
And she didn't want to be there. It's like, that hurts. But that getting out of the parking lot, I just want to say that, Terry, you are so right on with that. And I've complained about that a little bit for basketball, but more for the Widener. It's hard to get out of there because you're getting on Nicolet, which is kind of a busy street depending on the time of day. And I know they're talking about a roundabout there, but what they really need is just to put a cop there for 20 minutes.
Because you got them coming both ways.
I know. At a pretty good clip.
At a pretty good clip. I totally agree. Totally agree. Got another one here. I saw Emmylou Harris Saturday night at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. She did songs of the major influences in her life. Townes Van Zandt and Guy Clark. Didn't realize how many songs they wrote that a list of artists recorded. Great show, Terry. I'd love to see Emmylou here. I've never been to the Riverside Theater. I've heard a lot about it. You ever been there, Chad?
Haunted.
Huh? Oh, that's when I called you about one day. I was watching some Travel Wisconsin show.
Yeah.
And there's like a swimming indoor pool.
Okay.
That they only let the big time artists use after shows.
Really?
And they say that's really haunted.
Okay.
And like some of the biggest names, autographs then are on the wall, but it's got to be a real select club who they let down.
And where's that?
Riverside.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I knew there was a pool there.
Yeah. Remember I called you that one day, right? Texted you got to watch this show. Sarah says he didn't interact in 2001 either. Oh. Sarah, was that the one at River? Is it that long ago?
I've become that guy.
It was 10 years ago. No, Johnny, it was 24 years ago.
I think Riverside, we're here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got bigger after that because I saw him at the...
Who's that?
Dylan you're talking about, right?
Nah, but this wasn't... This was like within the last... Well, she said 2001. I thought about 10 years ago he was at the Riverside.
I think 10 years ago he was at the Brown County Arena.
Oh, okay.
Riverside's pretty small.
Oh, maybe that's it then. But he did do a show at the Riverside.
Wow.
Sometimes he would do that. Those small little things to kind of just... If he's got something new, just try it out that way.
Prince went through that whole thing. Remember that?
When he
did smaller venues, which is kind of cool. Yeah.
Well, Springsteen... Up until not that long ago, would show up at bars in New Jersey. Then you know, different. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Sold his collection for $500.
Well, you know who else used to do that though was.
2001 was Brown County.
It was Brown County. Oh, thank you, Sarah.
Wow. Wow.
Wow, is that long ago? All right. Hey, Bill Morgan, were you working? If Bill's listening,
were you working that? Yeah, he.
Because I've asked him a few times. How's it when? And some people, it's like, wouldn't even like, don't even look at him in the eye. Don't do anything. Just you can't. I think Shania Twain was kind of like that. He said, "I shouldn't say." Bill, come on, sometime talk about how the way people acted. Right. Warren Gerds has a great section in his book about just the different people he's covered over the years, and they had to do something with Marty Robbins, and the photographer for the Press Gazette was like late getting out there, and Marty Robbins was like, "I don't have time for this guy," and the guy, "Oh no, you got it," and he was like back and forth, kind of got into it. So Marty Robbins went on stage, and that's all he did was, like, rip the Brown County Sheriff's Department for the entire show. Yeah, that's a whole different world, man, when people
get
to that.
So
what did you
see,
a big controversy with Saturday Night Live? See Saturday Night Live? About, is it Morgan Wallen, Todd?
Yeah.
He walked out. He was
And
just walked in front of everybody. And people are like, what? What was that? That was bizarre.
Bill Murray. So it's Saturday night this past week.
Yeah.
They kind of did a skit on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you see last night that Elton John?
Yes.
My wife loves him.
I thought he looked great.
He has the age on there. Is he 71 or 81? See, he's
80. I think 80.
He's 81. Yeah.
He just had a birthday, in fact.
Right.
I was shocked at how good he looked and sounded.
He sounds great.
Yeah.
78.
Oh, 78. Okay. Anyway, we're watching that. And she goes, I wrote him a letter. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure you're one of the few. And I said, what'd you say? Oh, I just told him how much I really like his music and, you know, how much it meant to me. And you know, how we like some of his songs. So I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't know why she, I never knew she did that. Well, then they start talking about people that wrote letters. I said, I'm sure they're going to read yours, Don.
Wouldn't you have prepped if he did?
But he did.
Is it one of those kind of things?
Yes. He did influence a lot of people. I thought he was great too, but his health isn't great. So anyway.
Elton John's?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
He's going blind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
From like diabetes or anything? Or?
I don't know what it's all about, to be honest.
But he's very open about that.
So, I did not know that. Who's the woman that sang with him?
You know what? So we had to Google her.
I thought she was really good.
She's great. They met when she was, I don't know, what do you say, 14, 15, 16? She's, what, 43, 45 now?
Was it Brandi Carlile?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is she on her own?
Oh, yeah. She's a country star.
She's actually.
She was great.
Yeah.
I've never heard of her. Brandi Carlile.
Yep.
Neither did we, but she looks great, that billing right next to him, the whole show, I'm like, I didn't know her either. Anyway, that was good. She was great. Yeah, this is good. What song of his don't you like? You like all of them, right? Bitches Back?
Pretty much.
I mean, this is...
He's one of those guys, I can't remember him not being on the radio or listening. I mean, seriously.
This guy's awesome.
I remember being a sophomore in high school listening to Saturday Night. And
he just had a hit a couple of years ago, about 4 years ago in the UK.
Yeah, he's just always been there. All right,
quick break.
We had Chuck Wells coming up. We got a lot of great people. Back after this.
WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Resistance across Wisconsin. Thousands of people protested the first 75 days of the Trump administration over the weekend. There were more than 1,000 hands-off rallies across the country. A crowd of about 1,500 filled Like Park in Green Bay, a reported 23,000 in Appleton, and about 300 protested in Oshkosh at the Opera House Square. Several groups worked to put the protests together, from workers' unions to LGBTQ+ advocacy organizations and grassroots political groups. The protesters were supporting reproductive rights, Medicare, due process for people here illegally, school funding, and the list goes on. But many said that they were there in defense of the U.S. Constitution, saying President Donald Trump is not a king. Signs said things like laws, not chainsaws, hands off veterans' benefits, hate never made any nation great, and hands off, it's so bad even introverts are here. And then there was one, Keep Handmaid's Tale, a TV show. There were rallies all over Wisconsin, too, from Madison to Stevens Point to Eau Claire. The White House responded by saying Trump, quote, will always protect Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid for eligible beneficiaries, end quote. Experts have said that the budget goals Republicans passed are impossible without cutting some social services. Thousands of pounds of Johnsonville cheddar brats are being recalled because they may contain hard plastic. The USDA announced the recall Saturday. The brats in question were produced on February 5th, 2025, and have EST 1647 on the front label. The brats were sold in 10 states, including Wisconsin. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS in Oshkosh and Appleton. Of course, the Civic Media app worldwide, which is where we find Brittany Merlot, world-famous meteorologist.
Brittany, get it out of our system.
Hi, Brittany. It is so crappy here.
It is. It's awful. It's windy. Yeah. It's like...
now we got flurries.
Snow flurries?
Yeah,
there
it's snowing. Okay. Yeah.
I'm with you. I've got the flurries too. It's it looks like winter out there this morning.
UP has a winter storm watch.
Yeah, they do.
Central UP. Those poor people.
I know.
Do you wonder why they just drink? I mean, why? Just drink.
Coffee and tea. You know, coffee and tea, and they read.
I'm not even joking. So,
I mean, this time of year to have this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Brittany.
I know. It's annoying. It's to the point where it's like, all right, come on. Where's the 60s? Let's go. Right. Let's bring the sunshine on. Right. Let's get summer rolling, right?
But again, Brittany, I think of you all the time. And Todd, we're talking about it earlier this morning, that area down where he's worked and still works basically on the air and where you worked. I mean, what, 20 people killed in a week? You know, we can sit and complain about, but I mean, it's like every weekend, a dozen people are dying from the weather.
Yep. Yeah, they are. It's crazy. I mean, all of those storm systems that went through, I mean, what, there were 44 confirmed tornadoes on just March 30th into the 31st. And then you've got now 40 river gauges that are about to be at major flood, or if not already at major flood levels. And, you know, the moisture just really surged in to the, you know, the country in that part. The jet stream lined up perfectly, and that they just got hit over and
I saw,
over.
I saw some video of a cabin. I want to say Tennessee, but I might be wrong, but one of those states. And had a picture from the same place. Just idyllic.
Pretty.
Yeah. with a beautiful stream. Okay. Then I think it might have been a deer cam, a trail cam. He must have been, because it was the exact same spot. Then there is one from like yesterday, the day before. Okay. His front yard, he's lost about 70%. And then it's about a 40-foot drop now to that little river that was there. And it is like the most powerful river you've ever seen, about 20 feet outside of his cabin door. Yeah. Oh, and he was going to be leaving. So, you know, if it keeps going, everything's, I mean, the power of those things is mind-boggling, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, it's taking trees with it. It's taking debris with it. The power is
semi
just so strong.
Semi-trucks, I saw a semi getting swept down the thing.
Those rivers are going to crest through. Wait till Cincinnati. They're watching those. And once those go,
do we have that?
Look out.
Like, doesn't Eau Claire or La Crosse sometimes?
Our water's high here, right?
Yeah, actually, I think the Wolf River right now is pretty decently high. But pretty much across the state, we're just pushing minor flooding levels. We're not anywhere near what's going on down south.
We don't seem to, we got height, we got a lot of water, but not that power that those things seem to be. Another place that always gets down to Shoto Falls, that area always just gets crazy high.
I mean, even the Wisconsin River, I can't think of where it is, maybe like the Portage area where you cross over the highway and you always look over at the Wisconsin River and you could see like the islands kind of just building of sand. There's no islands right now. And you can see the water into the wooded areas kind of off the highway. So, I mean, there is flooding, but it's just, like you said, no power. It's not that crazy surge. It's not life-threatening, which is,
you know, Brittany, what you would be number one in saying this too. One of the warnings they had to put out, this almost sounds funny that somebody would have to put out a warning. They said there were signs up, no kayaking. Kayakers, because some of these kayakers, this is great. Oh, this is like white rapids. Water. Right. And it's like, you have no idea. Brittany, am I right on that? That people do try to challenge that?
Well, that's the thing. See, I've been a whitewater rafting guide, so I do have that itch. You know, oh gosh, I'll grab my kayak and go out there too. But here's the thing. It's so powerful. It's so strong. It's got debris in it. You're not staying in the river basin at this point. You're outside of the river because it's flooded its banks. That is just scary stuff. I wouldn't, no way would I try that with all that debris going on.
I was
going to
say, because if you do, update your will and leave John and I your four-wheeler and a couple of other toys.
Yeah, the little tag-along.
we like that, too.
We might have that at EAA. That will be party central.
Right?
Wow.
Brian says Marquette is going to flood. Is that true, Brian? I don't know. Wow. Is it really?
Did he say Marquette?
Yeah. Wow.
I'll have to check that out, yeah.
Well, they did have a bad one there years ago when the dam burst. It was so bad, the dam burst and washed out cabins and everything.
Yeah. I was a little off subject here, but I was telling Johnny that last week I went, you know, they're having those listening sessions for the state budget, and there were a bunch of people there from that community where it flooded, and they're all there for their $5.1 million. What was the name of that town? Their dam broke in...
was this on Minnesota?
No. It was the Wisconsin state budget. It was in... a small town, and they just got totally flooded last year. I'll think about it. But anyway, and what happened there was I think the dam broke. And
that's what happened in Marquette.
It just...
Manawa?
Manawa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And, you know, people who got up there was the mayor. and the city council, you know, flannel shirts and stuff. I mean, yeah. they were the real deal, though.
Right.
They were like, look, we can't afford to fix this.
Right.
And they can't, right? I mean, so, yeah, if those things break, it's, I don't know, it's over. So I hope that they
Brittany, recedes. I'll be honest, it fascinates me, too, sometimes. And you hate to say it. It's like, you know, watching a hockey fight or something. You don't enjoy it, but you're just almost like in awe of, I think I'm in awe of two guys that would get out in the middle of the ice and just pound at each other. And, you know, there's a chance you're going to be the one getting pounded, and they do it night after night, or they used to. But with the weather, it's almost one of those things. You shouldn't be watching it, but it's so fascinating by that force of nature. You can't look away. Isn't that true?
It's so true. I mean, it's shocking to be able to see the fact that this can actually happen. And then you got to learn from it, too. Maybe, you know, really pay attention to those flood warnings, or, you know, springtime. Are you really going to buy a house off of a river? I don't know. It makes you second guess things. That's for sure.
Got a text here from Scotty.
We'll have that flood insurance.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying the flood insurance is just so important. I mean, no matter where you are, whether you're in a flood zone or not, you can still get some of that federal insurance. And it's so important because, I mean, if you get an inch of water in your basement, that's like about $25,000 worth of damage right there with just one inch. So, I mean, it's just proves the point that we've got a lot of moisture. We've got a lot of storms. They're going to keep coming. Just prepare yourself if you can.
And I will say that I've cleaned out houses that had had water damage. And you're right, an inch or two, once it gets into that drywall, first of all, it ruins the carpet, what's over there. Thing could buckle, and it gets in that drywall, and it just wicks its way up further. And it's the worst cleanup that there is water damage.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's actually traumatizing. It's actually happened to my family. You know, everything's just gone and ripped out and everything in the basement, you know.
And it seems like you can never get across that smell. Maybe it's in your head. But once you've been in that area where you've had that wet carpet like that, I swear, it just seems like it permeates.
Kind of like
cat
you're into.
Same thing.
Yep.
Same exact thing. Got a text here. Good morning, guys. We were in Three Lakes this weekend. It was like going back in time. 6 inches of snow and Pelican Lake is completely froze over, Scotty.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's hard to believe even here.
So, okay, we put you on the spot about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think it was a month ago.
A month ago.
No, you're right. It was a month out, so you're right. It was
right. So go ahead, Jim. Give it to her now.
So the draft, 23rd, coming up. People are coming in on the 21st. That's when 22nd things are starting to kick off. How do you feel about it? We're starting to get a buzz here in our community. Tone Todd yesterday.
And I told Jim, looking out the window here, it could be like this on that first day of the draft.
And I hope not, but people are going to be coming. It's finally starting to pick up. I don't know if it was the NCAA. I don't know what it was, but people are going to be coming. So what can they look forward to from the weather?
So I was looking ahead at it, and I can't see exactly into the draft. My model runs take me to the 23rd, basically.
Well, that's good.
And what I see building in, so what I see earlier in the week, so 21st to 22nd or so, you're kind of into the 40s with temperatures. Then we kind of surge a little bit into the 60s as we approach it. But it's because a storm system wants to build and move on in. So it looks like that would want to hit into the 24th and 25th.
What kind of storm?
And then kick on out of there on the 26th. But this is so, so far out, right, in our forecast models. And a lot of these storms don't stay at the exact same time frame. So I will say I think there's going to be a storm at some point during it, a pretty big system bringing some rain. Hopefully it stays just rain.
Okay.
The temperatures we
had a guest on the other day. She says, wow, I've never experienced that before. She said, in the drive over here, I experienced three completely different weather systems. Started with snow, then it was rain, then it was sleet, all within her drive here.
Right.
And we talking about any of those other bad words there, or just rain?
I'm hoping just rain. The only other bad word I see starts with an F before the rain, and that's up in Minnesota at the moment.
Oh, let's not go that far.
No, okay, we're on the radio. It's $10,000 fine.
Wow, okay. I don't know how you guys do it in Rib Mountain.
We can't say that here.
Wow, okay. Hey, you're not around the campfire with your friends.
Right, the F rain.
Yeah. What is the F word
freezing.
Here?
Freezing rain.
Freeze?
That's
even worse. Actually, is it? I will say this though, Brittany, and no disrespect, but those long range forecasts. Anybody that's ever put on an outdoor event has experienced this. You start about a month. You try not to. I'm not gonna look ahead. Don't look ahead. Look ahead.
You do. You do, and it changes, like she said. It does. It does.
Every
change
morning
a lot,
you wake up and you look, and it's different.
But I take some comfort in it. It may be 60, like on the 22nd.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal.
Right? Because that'd be like, everybody's, oh, it's going to be like this all week. Let's go. So
that would be great. We'll take that, yeah. Brittany. Well, give us a quick forecast for what we got going here.
Yeah, pretty chilly today, unfortunately. Those wind chills are down to the teens to 20s right now. We'll stay crisp throughout the day. A lot of sunshine, though, for tomorrow. Highs hit 40 degrees. We've got a little wintry mix system moving in on Wednesday. Won't be the best day of the week, but we do warm things back up for Thursday, back into the upper 40s. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're going to be hitting low 50s to the low 60s by the time the weekend is over.
Oh, wow. Nice. Low 60s. That's awesome.
That will feel so
like,
good.
Right.
That's gonna feel like... feel literally like
in
like
the 70s, 80s,
like,
yeah.
Remember when you're a kid, the first day you could take out your bike.
Yep. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mino's going to have his shirt off and just singing your praises
over
the weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, that'll be fun. Brittany, always fun having you on. And again, though, you must be one of the most frustrated people in the world because you hate being inside. And there just isn't a lot to do outside right now, is there? And
I know.
Brittany, are you coming up there? Are you coming up for the draft? We have some events.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. All right, cool.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll get together.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Great having you on, Brittany. Thanks for getting up early, and thanks for the great work you do.
You're welcome. Have a good day, guys.
You too. Take care. We're going to set a quick break. We come back. Vietnam veteran Chuck Wellens is joining us. Talk a little bit about our veteran spotlight back after this. When you see
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. It is a Monday morning here in Mind of the Mayor. Special thanks to Brittany Merlot. We're talking about, dams and rivers and all the things right now. And ironically, our guest, we're going to talk about some Vietnam or veteran-type causes and everything, but our man Chuck Wellens here for our Veteran Spotlight, courtesy of Olson Legal Group in Oshkosh and Berlin. But Chuck, your job for how many years has been making sure the dam stays in good shape in Oconto in those styles, right?
Yes, it's been like 12 years now. I actually worked for the company that owns the dam as a lineman, and then when I went to retire, they asked me if I'd watch the dam for a couple of years, and it's temporarily permanent, I guess.
Wow.
So who owns that dam?
It's Oconto Electric Co-op.
Okay.
Yeah, they service that area. It's an electric cooperative. They're based out of Oconto Falls, and... actually, my dad worked there years ago.
Wow.
And then that's kind of how I got in there. And then I went to lineman's training. And after like about close to 40 years of that, then retirement.
When you say lineman, you mean electrical lineman?
Yes. Yep.
Going up in those, in that cherry picker and all that stuff in bad weather and...
Yeah, I tell you, it's quite an excitement when you realize what you got right in your hands could blow you away in a second if something went wrong. But I needed that kick after Vietnam to kind of, you know,
the adrenaline kick, all right.
Keep it going.
Yeah. I give you guys credit.
Yeah.
On the dam, it's interesting. You drive by those things, and what's their purpose, and what do they all do? What are some of the biggest challenges to keep the dam going and moving and working?
Usually the worst months obviously are the winter months because we've got this, we're regulated by a government agency that we got to stay in parameters of the height of the water. We only got about six to seven inches that we can vary.
Really?
Wow. And then in the spring, obviously, when you get the runoff, then we have to open the spill gate. So you got to monitor it. But they've renovated a lot of stuff there since I even started with automation. So right on my cell phone, I can monitor the heights of the river, and if I have to go over and open a gate, you know. So and sometimes you try to do it so you don't have to get up at 2 in
right,
the morning.
Yeah.
You know.
Would it beep though at 2 a.m. saying you're getting close to 6 inches?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a steady. You got to be reliable is what it is, you know. And then I got we got two other backups then. And we all work together at it, you know. It's,
what happens, Chuck? Like, we're talking a bit about Manawa, and I remember up in the UP in Marquette, that's probably, I remember George Bush W was president at the time. But anyway, what happens when they do collapse or burst?
It's catastrophic for the people below. In fact, this week we've got together with all the community, the O'Connell County government agencies, emergency management, and we work hand in hand. It's a lot better relationship over the years. But then if something's, we got all the people this week, I think it's Thursday, we have our annual emergency action plan. We activate it, notifies all the people immediately below the dam.
Okay.
That's where the most, and then it kind of spreads out. It's more property damage than life that we're worried about.
Is snow melt your main concern, or is it more heavy rains, or?
A little of both. Okay. I mean, a few years ago, we got a massive amount of rain, you know, all at once, and then our watershed comes from way up north right. of Searing, so you're seeing it for a number of days. The worst thing is the downstream. We try to hold back as much water as possible. It's like pouring water into a bucket. You know, it gets right. full. It goes. People don't understand that. We have to let it go because our reservoir isn't that big. But O'Connell gets hit real bad there. That Holtwood Park, it gets flooded. So what we try to do is work into that. But when you get that, you get a lot. Like one time, massive trees will come floating down. And if they go through, the gates open from the bottom up. And they'll tip up. They could rip out the whole structure itself.
That's what we're talking with Brittany. You have to see it to really understand the power, the ferocity of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can see it right now because we got the gates open about 2 foot, and you just walk out on the deck there and you look at that. You don't want to fall in there.
No, and like I was saying, like Brittany and I were talking, this thing down south, they had to put up all these signs: no kayaking. You'll be arrested if you. What's wrong with people? Not respecting the power of Mother Nature.
Right. Yeah, that's it. And it was when I was still a lineman yet, two fellas, local boys, were down there kayaking, and one of them fell out and he drowned, and we had to shut everything down. He got hot, hung up down in the rocks right. and stuff underneath because of the down. So I mean, so now you definitely stay. Safe distance, but you get into this season, we're into the walleye right now. I guess walleye is more important than your life as well. I'll go it buy is. A fish.
It's know? Amazing how many people are out there for the walleye, though, right? I mean, just, wow, yeah. This weekend. Hey, this emergency management training that's going on Thursday, you said, right? Do they evacuate, or is it just notices? And...
It's just notices. Okay. They inform the people, this is just,
just kind of be aware.
Is it sirens that do it?
Yeah, we got a huge siren there, but sometimes when I turn that on, if I'm going to open the gates, you know, if the people are fishing just a short ways from the dam, obviously that's where there's going to be the most instant current, you know. So if they're out there in their waders, I turn the siren on and I'll be standing on the deck and they'll look up at me and, you know, just to get the heck out of the water.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've only had one experience that. One time when I was fishing, there was a real strong, the Pine River up north, and I was waiting, and it was a gravel bottom, and I tripped on something, and it was real, and it was heading towards them, and I went under, and I had the waders on. Hardest thing I ever, luckiest I would not be here, there was a branch, or there was a tree fall, and when I got my head up, because you'd try to get up, and just hoping to see, and I wrapped my arm around it,
yes.
And again, that water was so strong, it pulled me. I was horizontal,
right.
hanging on and climbed that thing. And I was yelling and screaming. My buddies were camping. And they're like, oh, Mino caught another fish. Woo-wee. And I was screaming. Nobody would come down to help me.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, well. Chuck Wallace, a very special guest. Back after this.
Well, now you step inside. The national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.